I'm glad. Good morning. We'll start that. We'll start with that. Good morning, everybody. You can say good morning. Bye.
Morning.
All right. Well, we're here studying our glorifying God through my various activities of life. And this time we're talking about persecution and suffering. And so I'm glad that you're here and glad that we're not living in a country, as we talked about last time, that's undergoing persecution. That's not a big issue for us. At least not yet. It could happen at a later day, but in the meantime, it's not a big issue. But suffering is something that's human. It's normal, everyday human activity, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I think it's, Carolyn, maybe I believe it's your turn to lead prayer. So why don't you lead us in prayer?
Okay. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us, for the great gift of your Son. The opportunity that we have to be called children of yours, that we can have you as our Father. So thankful for the love that you defined in the giving of your Son. And dear God, we stand in awe of you, your creativity, your power, and your might. We pray that we will live our lives to please you, that we'll understand our role here on this earth, and that we'll understand who you are and how great you are. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning as we study about persecution and suffering. As we look in our own lives, help us to understand the suffering that Christ went through for us, and that we need to be willing to suffer as he suffered. If it comes down to that we can be glorified at the end with him. Heavenly Father, we praise you for all that you are, for all that you do for us. We thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And dear God, we pray that we'll be more and more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Carol. All right. So the theme verses there are in front of you. Why glorify God? Well, because we belong to him. We were bought by the blood of Christ. And so we're to give glory to him, magnify his name, praise him, bring honor to him above anything else and above anyone else because we belong to him. And the second verse there, 1 Peter 5:6, that's kind of a or a different version of it, or different view of it. It's in this case, it's talking about what is the biggest conflict, or the biggest competitor for glory, our glory and our esteem. What's the biggest competitor? What's God's biggest competitor?
Ourselves.
Exactly. Thank you. Ourselves. Him. And so that's why I like this verse that Carol picked here, of humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Because what that does is that lets us remember that, give it to God, give the glory and honor and respect that God deserves and is due to him, and let him then be the one who gives us the gift of glory, or let him be the one that gives us the honor and dignity that we don't deserve, but that he is willing to give to us because he is God. And so that's a hard thing to do, because we compete with God for attention. You everybody that has more than one child, do your children ever compete with each other for attention? I see some heads nodding, and see some smiles. Everybody does that. In a congregation, can you see that sometimes people getting a little bit competitive for attention? It happens. It happens. And so we need to learn to give God the glory in that respect. All right. We talked last time, Rodney, I'll just go over this briefly here. Persecution in America is basically non-existent. It could turn on a dime, but right now it's not. So it's worth learning about, but it's not something that we have to worry about and to a great degree today. Suffering is somewhat moderated by capitalism, but it still exists for everyone. People get sick, people die, people have financial problems. And especially with the current crisis, that could get a lot worse. Things could get a lot worse, because you just think about all of the people that are losing money right now because of of businesses shutting down. And so preparing for that and preparing to be able to deal with that is very important. I think everybody would agree with that. And again, we're not talking about political issues. We're just talking about the reality We're sad that people get sick and die from the disease. That's heartbreaking. We're also equally as sad and heartbroken by the people that their lives and their incomes and that their incomes and their hopes and dreams are being crushed right now. And hopefully we can come out of that still trusting God no matter what happens. I mean, I don't know anybody personally that has died from the coronavirus, but I know that, well, I think I saw last night that it's above 50,000. And even if there's debate about how accurate those numbers are, that's still a lot of people. If you knock off a few thousand, still a lot of people that have died. But I do know people who've lost their jobs or lost their businesses or are in the process of losing their businesses, because this thing is just really, really hurting people. So we need to be prepared for that. Do we know anybody in the congregation? I know Jim sent an email out saying that there have been some that have had the virus, but has anybody in the congregation actually had it and actually died? I would think that would be news that would have been shared. Anybody know anybody?
No one have recovered. I haven't heard of any.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of news that would go. It could still happen. We don't know. I mean, this thing's going to hang around for a while, even as they try to find, and what they're going to, it's going to take a while to find treatments that can deal with it. But that's, again, that's a medical issue, and I'm not a doctor. So this is what we went through last time. How can I glorify God through my persecution and suffering? So we said, recognize it as a blessing and rejoice and be glad. That's what we talked about that in from Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to put that on, I'm going to share that on the screen very quickly here. And let's just read let's read Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. And let's see, you should be able to see that now. All right, Clint, you want to read that for us?
Sure. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, from the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
All right. So that's the attitude that we are supposed to develop for the potential of suffer persecution that is something that could come our way. Again, it's fortunately, it's not something that we are dealing with regularly. Let's go to the next thing. We talked about the next few points here on the PowerPoint, and this gets into the more of the suffering side of it. And when we talk about the suffering side, that gets in, down to a little bit more realistic. These are the things that do happen to us and in real life. And I want to share that with us now. Let's look at these passages, 38 through 42. Becky, you want to read that for us?
Sure. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. How far did you want me to go? I'm sorry.
42.
Okay. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you.
Okay. So one of the things that I pointed out, and I put this under the title of reject retaliation. We live in a world where people are going to insult us, and that's really more what this is describing here, is people who insult us, mistreat us, and the first thing that we need to do is reject retaliation. That's just something that cannot be a part of our mindset. Now, is that easy?
No.
No, I mean, how many of us walk around and just say, hey, slap me, just for the fun of it? Nobody does that. And when somebody does slap us or verbally slaps us, I mean, Facebook, I know Becky's on Facebook and I'm on Facebook. And one of the things that is just as disappointing to see among Christians is the instant slap back. Someone writes something that I don't like, I jump on there and I straighten them out. That's a form of this retaliation. And then it just goes and it just disintegrates from there. I see Becky smiling. What happened?
She's elbowing me because I frequently will type what I want to say and then delete it. I very rarely respond, but I want to a lot. So.
Hey, and that's okay as long as you delete it and you work through it. Now, eventually, the goal is to get to the point where, you know, I got to let this go. I mean, I'm there with you, brother. I'm there with you because I have to remind myself all the time. It's their page. Facebook is individuality being exposed, and it's their page to say what they want. I'm not the word police and I'm not the thought police. It's not my job to go on and correct everybody who says something that I think is less than on, you know, is off target. We'll put it that way. I'd be polite, say it's off target. Or even if they say something insulting to me, I'll give you a little story. One time I was I posted something. You know, I do a daily Facebook post. It's 300 words or less. Bible study. I'm working my way through the Bible. I started in January 2014. Now I'm up to Acts chapter 17 and Paul on Mars Hill. And when I get to Paul in Corinth, I'm going to pause and do 1st and 2nd Thessalonians because that's where he wrote those books. But anyway, somebody made a comment one time in response to one of my posts, and I caught it. And then he deleted it, but it was basically to the something of, why do I have to read stupid stuff like this, childish stuff? It was basically calling my post childish and immature. And it was a preacher, a guy that thinks of himself as highly, I guess, as a preacher. And I asked him about it and he never responded. But so I let it go. I didn't call him, well, you're, I didn't call him names, but I did ask about it. But it was, my point was that, or my thought was, well, I don't write this for preachers. If preachers want to study something that's deep and complicated, then fine. I don't go for that. I want people, average, everyday people, mostly non-Christians, to read it, or Christians who need to be encouraged. That's retaliation. So we reject retaliation. And then the next one is 43 through 48. Let's go through that one, 43 through 48. Let's read that. Rodney, read that for us.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
All right. Well, do you notice the progression beginning in verse 38 and then and then with this thought here in verse beginning in verse 43, what's the progression?
Well, not only are you not supposed to do these things in retaliation, you're to love them.
Okay. So that's why I call that raise the level of love. You go from you don't strike back because somebody struck at you to being proactive. There's reactionary and then there's proactive. You're proactively raise your level of love to saying of your enemies, even people who are mean and nasty to you, that you love them. Now, and that means you're good to them, you're kind to them, you're all of those things, the fruits of the Spirit that we talked about a few weeks ago as far as being involved in your daily online presence, letting that flow become a part of you and then flow out. If we don't, if only we only like the people that like us, then who are we like?
Mankind.
Yeah, mankind. Everybody else. The world. We're like the people who are of the world who don't step up to a higher bar. And who sets the tone or the standard for the higher bar?
God does. In verse 45, something that really stood out to me. I don't know if I've ever noticed it before, but he makes his sun rise. And so we think about, you know, that his sun rises on the good and on the evil. He gives everyone the same opportunity each day to serve him, regardless of what they've done to him in the past or how they've betrayed him in the past or that they killed his son in the past or, you know, made light of the great sacrifice that his son made. I mean, he gives everyone the same opportunity every single day.
Yeah, the goodness that is this earth, the rain that we're getting now, blesses the land of the ungodly farmer as much as it blesses the crops and land of the godly ones. Now, and that's God's doing that. And that's one of the things that we have to remember, that God is behind that. All right, so and I forgot what the fourth one there in verse 44 is regular prayer, lifting people up. So when we look at what's going on in the culture and we look at our politicians, right or left, whether agree or disagree, are we lifting them up in prayer or running them down as nincompoops? And are we worried about all the problems and just all we do is worry, 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 or do we lift them up in prayer to God and let God deal with it? What should we do?
We talked about using speech in the right manner, and one of the things that we should not bless and curse same mouth. Mankind. I think that's a good application to that.
Yeah. I had to really say a lot about that when I was preaching in Clearwater, because we had a couple of members that were very outspoken on political issues, especially on Facebook, and just as vicious and ungodly as they can be. And I had to really mentioned that a few times about, you know, and a couple times personally to them, you got to dial this back, people. You can't talk about anybody that way, not glorify God. I mean, it's one thing to say this is unwise. It's another thing to say that person's an idiot, which is what they do. So, all right, regular prayer. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I want to look at verses 18 through 25. Somebody read that for us. Carol, you want to read that for us?
Romans 8, what?
18 through 25.
I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the just longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory and of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of the childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the spirits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of the body, of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is not seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it.
All right. So renewed hope. What's happening to us, and I think to Christians on a large scale, because of this quarantine? What's happening to us? Being stuck at home, what do we do? Anybody? What do we get caught up in? Now, Carol, you're an exception to this in one extent, that you go to work because you're an essential employee in an essential business. But what about the rest of us who are stuck home with few places to go, a few things to do?
Even in my situation, I mean, it's real easy to just think about what I want and what I want to do, what I can't do. So it's real easy to become self-centered in this situation instead of taking the opportunities to reach out to others.
All right. Rodney, what do you think? You're working.
I think it's easy. It's easy for us to get caught up. I mean, that's the whole reason why we look forward to getting together on Sunday, Wednesday for worship, for Bible class, and because we need that encouragement. We need to build each other up. We need that interaction. And when we're at home, even though we do stuff like this, we don't have that face-to-face encouragement. And I think it's easy for us to, you know, if we're not focusing on staying positive, to slip back into groaning and complaining and becoming negative and possibly even, you know, slipping back into some of our old sin because we have so much time on our hands.
Yes. All right. So you get caught up in yourself, get distracted, get drawn away to things that we shouldn't be doing. But instead we need to focus. And remember, I think as a Christian, the perspective that we should have is that, believe it or not, this is normal. I think this is normal. This and worse is normal for a large majority of people in the world. So what we are having is blessed. And so it's easy for us, I think, to forget that the suffering of this world is part of the curse and that the world groans under it and people groan under it. But we know that on the other side of this, that is eternity. And we don't see it because that's why we hope for it. We haven't grasped it yet. But we're looking forward to it. And so that gives us hope. And so we need to have renewed hope. And then the other one was routine trust. And that's verses 31 through 39 there in the text. And we won't take the time to read it because I do want to get some of these other ones. But that's the great passage there of the glorious hope for those who are surrounded by and live in the love of God through Jesus Christ. And so this is where we need to really step up our game, kind of like what Carol said a moment ago, and reach out to others. Find opportunities, and today in the day of cell phone and the internet, to be able to reach out and encourage others. Bring them hope. Be a well of hope. I'll have to make a confession here. I frequently get aggravated at people who, you know, when the world is sinful, and, you know, especially with homosexuality and all this nonsense going on with that, they get upset about that and think that the world is ending. And I say, look, this is the time to shine, be a light in the middle of this darkness and shine with peace and love and joy. But now all of a sudden I'm stuck at home suffering in the quarantine and I'm having to remind myself, look, you know, I need to, you know, those fingers that were pointing at those folks now are pointing back at me saying, hey, find this opportunity to bring hope and joy and demonstrate trust in God so that you're no longer a negative person, but an uplifter. All right. Real sympathy for others. I'm not going to take the time to 2 Corinthians 11. How many of you read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29? Talked about it very briefly at the end of class last time. Anybody read that? If you didn't, I beg you, go back and read that because that's where Paul's talking about all of the things that happened to him. And at the end, he says, on top of all that is his anxiety or the pressure of his concern for other people who were suffering as well and suffering not only the normal things of life, but also persecution. So this is an opportunity to have sympathy. Have sympathy for people who are sick and are dying. Have sympathy for people who are suffering job loss and business loss and things like that. And people who are just suffering from the travails and the depression that can come from feeling trapped at home. So have that kind of sympathy for them. All right. Let's go to the next question. What are some things ways we don't glorify God in our persecution? What are some ways?
We can blame God.
All right. blame God. Is, why did you do this to me? That's one way. All right, good. What else?
Complaining.
All right. Yeah, that would be the first one. Dismay and disappointment. Complaining. This isn't what I expected. This isn't what's supposed to happen to me. Anybody ever say that? Yeah, it's easy to do. What else?
Doubt. Makes us doubt that sometimes maybe that we're not doing the right thing, or that we're not going about something right, or that we've done something to deserve what we're through.
Okay. All right. So doubt. All right. That's a good one. All right. Anybody else?
I would just say overall just negativity. Complaining is part of that, but I would go back to the verse that I referenced last time, 1 Peter 3:14-15, where it said, you know, being that good example where people want to know about the hope that you have, the converse of that is being that negative person that nobody wants to have anything to do with. And found out that you were a Christian, they would want to have nothing to do with your congregation because you're so just chip on your shoulder kind of person, you know, angry with the world all the time. Nothing pleases you. I've had people that work for me like that, you know, I wanted nothing to do with them other than the time that I was forced to be around them as their employer. And if we're that way as Christians, we're not glorifying God.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Those are, I think the anger and retaliation is one of them. Just angry at God kind of fits with what Carol said earlier. You know, angry about that, misery and anxiety, that's that negativity, fear and panic, you know, that's the, you know, that can take over. I think that's part of what we've seen. We've seen that'll go on a lot, fear and panic, and we can fall into it. And the other one is I want to throw out false choices, the binary option agreement. I saw a congressman say this the other day. He said, that's a binary option, and that's a bad argument. It's either this or that. Well, sometimes it's not either this or that. Sometimes there's a middle road. And I think for us, from a religious standpoint, from a serving God standpoint, it's kind of like you said a little bit earlier, Carol, the faithful won't suffer, or I'm suffering, therefore it's God's fault, or God doesn't even exist, or God doesn't exist, or he doesn't care, or he can't do anything. So that gets feeds into the doubt as well. All right. So those are some of the things that, those are the ways we can fail to glorify God. Let's go to the next one. Steps we can take to ensure we glorify God through our persecution and suffering. What steps can we take to overcome all that?
I think, like right now, just remembering that this isn't our home, which is really, I'm not saying I'm doing that very well, but focusing on heaven and, you know, even if it is horrible here, we have a hope of a reward someday.
Oh, absolutely. I think, Becky, that's a great point because of this. This has awakened me to a realization that, you know, I was all super strong in so many areas, but this has revealed to me, look, here's an area where I need to get better and not be the negative Ned on this. Instead, to see this as the opportunity. And to remember this, and like you said, this isn't our home. So why are we so caught up in living here on this earth as if this is it? You know, I have people I know, I won't mention any names or what their connection to me is, who are just miserable because this is all they got. This is it. And that's just, it's sad. It's sad. So steps we could take, I threw things together. Remember who we belong to. It kind of ties with what you said, Becky. Remember where we're going. Remember that we belong to God. We are his. He is our God. Be prepared. You know, there's some of the passages that I talked about. Be prepared for suffering. How many of us were prepared for this? Really? Except maybe in a sense we were, but did any of us expect this to become what it has? No. Okay. And so things could get worse. Things could get better. But regardless, we know who we belong to and that we are prepared for it. Third thing I said was build your faith. Acts 4:23-31. That's the occasion where Peter and John are arrested, taken before the Sanhedrin, and they're told, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And they said, you say whatever you want. We're going to do what God says. We're going to proclaim the things we know. And then they went back to the congregation. And the congregation, they rejoiced. Because one thing I think sometimes we forget in that passage, it says that they were beaten. But they went back and they rejoiced at the fact that they could suffer. Maybe they weren't beaten in this chapter 5. They're beaten, but all the apostles are beaten in chapter 5. But they rejoice in this rage of the world against them. And their faith was built up. At the end of that, in verse 31, it said, what does it say at the end of Acts chapter 5, verse 31? Anybody got that? Or Acts chapter 4? I'm going to read that. Verse 31, I think it's important, the one I want to point out.
And when they prayed, the place in which they were together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
All right, and what's that last phrase?
Boldness.
All right, no, the last clause. Preached?
Yes, speak the word of God with boldness.
All right, so that's what we've got to be continually focusing on. All right, and we're running a little bit low on time here. So benefits, courage. That's that Acts 4:31. Comfort. Psalm 23 is a great passage for comfort because we're all going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And God will care for us and take care of us. Mark 10 talks about the suffering and God caring for us in suffering. Consequences when I do not glorify God through my persecution and suffering. What are the consequences? Anybody?
Can be sinful.
Say that again.
Sinful. Right. I mean, depending on what we do.
All right. So sinful, we sin, and sin is an offense against God. All right. Anybody else?
We set a bad example for others.
Yes, set a bad example. In fact, that's why I put this in there as my answer. When I've made this very personal. When I do not glorify God in my persecution and suffering, I weaken the church and spread doubt. Now, these passages that I listed here are passages that talk about having hope and having confidence and trusting God even in the middle of suffering. The Thessalonian church, I tell you, the Thessalonian church is amazing. When you think about what they went through, this is where Paul was when he got run off and went to Berea. And in Berea, remember everybody knows about the noble Bereans? Well, who were they more noble than? The Thessalonians. All right. And so when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, very shortly after he had left there, he commends them for their faith in the middle of suffering. And so instead of the church being weakened, the church was strengthened by their trust. So I'm just looking at the example of what they did. And the opposite of that is the consequence when we don't glorify God. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul's encouraging Timothy. This is right before Paul's about to die to know that we'll suffer and to bring glory to God anyway. And same thing for Hebrews chapter 12. All right, and the attitude, selfishness. You know, several of you mentioned that selfishness that just shrinks the soul. Hebrews 10:32 through chapter 12 are great passages to read and study about how to deal with suffering. And then the last one, I'll just put this up there, sins, rebellion. I just picked one sin, rebellion. Because what are we doing when we don't glorify God? What are we? We're just rebelling against Him. What was it that that Samuel said to Saul when we got about a minute and a half left. What did Samuel say to Saul about his disobedience to God? And Saul tried to make up for it by saying, well, we're going to offer all these great sacrifices. What did he call that?
Sacrifice.
Samuel called that. Called a rebellion. He said, this rebellion said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And that what he was doing was that refusal to trust God and glorify God, even in the middle of difficult times and difficult things, is rebellion against God. All right, I'll let anybody else. We got about a minute left. So what else we got? Anybody?
I think it's important, especially like times like right now, that what we're suffering is nothing more than other people are going through. So, everyone in Kentucky pretty much is going through the same thing. You know, some people are in different situations that might be better than others, but basically we're all on the same orders to refrain from doing what we are, and we ought to use it to the best of our advantage to.
All right, very good. And with that, we're going to have to end. So I'm going to just remember next week, Wednesday night, Carol's going to take over and talk about dress. Are you going to wear a dress, Carol?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Appreciate it very much. Y'all have a wonderful day, and it's about time to go get ready for worship with everybody else. Talk to you later.